Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
You know, I think of the writings in the Old Testament. And when they came before the king, he had to put the scepter out to him. And if he didn't, it wasn't good. They could be put to death and killed if they were rejected. You know, and the songwriter here, I think about that. You know, it said that my Lord made me glad because we have a way to enter in. Amen. He made a way. The Lord Jesus made a way for us that we could enter in. Amen. That scepter's been put out to us, and we could come in and we could receive everything that God has. But, you know, we have to enter in with gladness in our heart and thanksgiving into the courts of praise. You understand that? And sometimes we enter in out of ritualistic. Sometimes we enter in out of a sense of necessity, you know. We need to enter in with thanksgiving. Amen. Because God made a way for us. You would not have no way to be there except that God made a way. Amen. You didn't make it in by your righteousness, your goodness. Didn't make it in by your labors or your works. Amen. I can tell you this, on the other hand, without labors and works, you won't make it in. But you didn't make it in by your labors and works. Your labors and works are a fruit that you've already arrived, that you've already made it in. Amen. And your fruit will absolutely be forth and showing. Amen. I feel to sing another song, or not me sing one, you all sing one and worship the Lord. Even if we went back and sang the same one again, wouldn't bother me at all. But we need to be thankful for the Lord. Amen. That we have opportunity to enter in to the presence of God. And if we can come and enter into His presence this morning, then He can minister to us this day. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Jesus, what a wonder You are.
Maybe we could just close our eyes together and lift our hands. Thank You, Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus, to enter in.
So pure and so kind.
Oh, Lord, cleanse us and wash us. Purify our thoughts and our mind, Lord God. Oh, Father, as we lift our hands to You this morning, we're asking You, Lord God, to regenerate our thinking, Almighty God, that we could hear what the Spirit of God says. Oh, Lord, we need Your help this morning, Lord God. We thank You, Lord God, that You're here with us, standing in our midst. Father God, I ask You that we can honor You, worship and praise You this morning. For You are the one that's worthy, worthy of all praise. Hallelujah. We love You, Lord Jesus. We worship and magnify You and You alone this day, Lord God. Oh, as I can feel Your mighty power, the anointed of the Holy Ghost, the virtue of the living God, filling the souls of Your men and Your brethren and Your sisters this morning. Oh, we praise Your name, Lord God. We worship You, Almighty God. Thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. As we feel Your strength, Almighty God, strengthen us. Oh, Lord God, that nothing could pluck us out of Your hand. Oh, we thank and praise Your holy name.
Jesus, what a wonder You are.
Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus.
You are so gentle.
Thank You, Lord God. Hallelujah.
So pure and so kind.
Thank You, Lord God.
You shine.
Hallelujah. I hope you've entered into His presence, saints. Hallelujah. I can feel that presence that's breaking yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Jesus. Let Him take those shackles, those chains off. Hallelujah. Just let them fall to the ground. and then lift up your hands with the praise and gratitude that He's worthy of. Hallelujah. Because you've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. You've been delivered. Hallelujah. Empowered. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
So pure and so kind. You shine like a bright morning star.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, saints of God, if I close this right now and I said, we're going to go home, amen. I feel like I've been in the house of God this morning, amen. Hallelujah. You know, brother, I have to have a touch from heaven every day, amen. And I got to tarry whatever it takes before my Lord that I could get that touch, amen. There's times when people might come into the altar for prayer and I got to tarry just for a moment. Sometimes I might pray in the Holy Ghost for a minute, because I got to make that connection and get that contact to know that we touched the hem of the garment. Amen. Sometimes we don't tarry long enough. Sometimes we can be ritualistic and we can, you know, move in such a way, you know, and we're making a motion and an action, and that's good, and God accepts that. You know, sometimes people, they're afraid to do that, or they don't know how to exercise that and do that. Many times things could start out. A relationship can start out in infatuation, but if you tarry in it, it could turn into a real love, real true love. And many times people start worshiping God, and it could be with an infatuation. It could be with the fear that, you know, I don't want to go to hell. But then all of a sudden, all of that can turn into real love, because you've met and found the Redeemer. Amen. And you, when you've met Him and found Him, and you see that, you know what, this isn't ritualistic. This isn't just talking about something that was written, you know, hundreds or thousands of years ago. This is real today. Amen. This is something so real. And all of a sudden, it becomes from the letter of the law, or from just the written word, or from a memorization, to a true, genuine worship and praise to the Lord. A lot of people haven't made that crossing. They worship Him out of ritual. They worship Him out of respect. They worship Him, you know, out of an appreciation even. But boy, when you cross in, and then you all of a sudden you found that you're standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the one that couldn't possibly could hold that scepter back, and you find yourself cut off, and all of a sudden He gave it to you, just like, wow.
Yes.
You know, this is so awesome that I could walk with Him and fellowship with Him. I could talk with Him. He could help me. He could strengthen me. He could move in my midst. He could move in my relationship, move in all the affairs that I'm in. He could bless my business. He could raise my business up. He could fix my health. He could straighten it out. He could take away what the palmer and the cankerworm has eaten away and taken it all away. He could restore and add back. He could make me strong when I'm weak. He could heal me when I'm sick. Amen. He could lift me up when I'm down. When I'm depressed, when I'm oppressed, He could lift me up, and He could give me joy of salvation, amen. And I could walk right out of the blues, right out of this old distraught, cast down countenance, and I could walk in the power and the liberty of God, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's real, brother.
It's
absolutely real. When you choose to stay in that state of mind, that is a choice that you made. And He's standing right there. You know, we sing a song sometimes, standing in the shadows, you know. And if sometimes He's just right there, and you just haven't been observant, and all you got to do is start praising, all of a sudden the shadows are lifted.
Amen.
And you're standing in the brilliance of the brightness of the noonday sun, right there with the Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He's given you everything that pertaineth unto life. He has given you everything. He didn't hold nothing back from you. He doesn't have a selfish bone in His body, not one. He gave you everything, amen. And then He didn't just give you everything, He enjoys it with you, amen. And you go, walk in the glory, walk in the power, walk in the praise, amen. Hallelujah. Y'all can sing one more song before we sit down. Song service seems to be working really fine this morning, amen. Come on, Sarah, why don't you lead us in one of them songs on the piano. Let's let her do that.
That's
amen.
Good.
Let's worship the Lord for a minute. Is that all right? You say, y'all charismatic.
Yes.
And I say, you can call it whatever you want, but I'll tell you what, if I'm charismatic, I got something to be charismatic about, amen. My God gave me charisma, amen, to worship and to praise Him, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It'd be okay if y'all want to get a little Pentecostal. Amen. Can we worship Him, saints?
My soul, sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.
Hallelujah.
Rest is complete while I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, sleep over my soul.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I can feel Him sweeping over souls right now.
My soul, sweep over my soul.
Oh, Lord God. As you sweep over the souls of man this morning, Lord God. Oh, sweep it clean and pure, amen. That it could be inhabited by the Holy Ghost, amen. And be filled. That when that enemy comes back, he finds that that void is being filled with your presence and with your power. Oh, we praise your name, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
My soul in God's favor.
Thank you, Lord God. Are you anchored, saints of God? Hallelujah. If you're anchored, lift up your hands and thank Him and praise Him. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord God. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
He
can hear you this morning, saints. Sing that like you know He's listening. Thank you, Jesus, and granting the petition to you. Oh, hallelujah. There's no burden too heavy for Him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Savior, won't you hear my heart?
There's an anointing here this morning that can make you that are struggling with resentment and hate. It can just lift that burden right away from you right now this morning. It can just lift that burden right off of you. And it can make you learn how to love your enemy. And you've made people your enemy that aren't your enemy. And it's all through your own mind. And this morning you can just lift up your hands and say, oh, cleanse my soul, Lord God. Remove this envy. Remove this hate. Remove this bitterness from me, oh God. Let me be free. Hallelujah. Free me, Lord God. Set me free this day, Lord God, of all bitterness and strife. Oh God, remove this backbiting thing from me, Lord God, and let me be set free. Hallelujah. He's worthy. His power is still here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Let the Lord have His way, saints of God. Don't try to outguess the Spirit of God this morning, where it's going to go and what's going to happen. This might be your moment right now. This might get your moment to be freed and delivered right now. Hallelujah. You say, well, you're questioning my salvation. No, I'm questioning the evil spirit that you keep letting take and perplex your mind. Hallelujah. I've seen people that walk in the obedience to God and faithful to God, but they carry these burdens. They carry these iniquities. They carry these straits on them that all they got to do is just say, Lord God, I'm tired of this. Amen. I want to walk in the freedom of the Holy Ghost and the power of His salvation. I don't want this baggage. I don't want this weight. I don't want this resentment. I don't want these things in my life. Oh, God, I stand before you and say, cleanse me and wash me and make me whole. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Remove it, Lord God. Take it away. Let the shackles and the chains fall off me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him, saints. Worship Him and praise Him. Hallelujah. Magnify His name this day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's continue to praise Him.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's past.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. While eyes are closed this morning, hands lifted to Him this morning, let's worship Him.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Are there others who would like to come in the altars while the Spirit of God is moving so gracefully? He's moving in such a mighty way. Amen. Hallelujah. You can say, well, I come to hear a sermon. I come to see God move. I come to see God work. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't set a roadmap the way He's going to move and the way He works. Amen. If He starts setting free and delivering, amen, and lifting up and exalting, hey, hallelujah, exalting you up to His throne, amen, I say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. I praise your name, Lord Jesus. I worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You that are tuned in by the way of the internet, just lift up your hands and say, I love you, my Lord God. I worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let that anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost reach down and touch me and lift me up this day. Hallelujah. I think somebody got a hold of that garment. Amen. Hallelujah. That virtue of the God, hallelujah, has just run through your body, hallelujah, has set you free and delivered you in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Can you believe that? Can you receive that? Can you say, thank you, Lord God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
So reach out and touch the Lord as He...
As we continue to worship, hallelujah. Let your heart be real to God. Quit approaching Him with this condemnation. You approach Him full of condemnation. Amen. You know, you can approach Him in repentance and conviction, but not condemnation. Say, oh God, help me. Lord, I fell before You. I've stumbled before You. Oh Lord God, I've caused problems, Almighty God, out of my willful selfish ways, oh God. Oh God, I thought too highly of myself and thought I was something when I was nothing. Oh God, and I've stumbled and staggered before You. But I stand before You this day, Lord God, and say, wash me and cleanse me. Fill me with Your Spirit. Fill me with Your power, Almighty God. Hallelujah. Oh God, I praise Your name. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. This might be your day, saint. Hallelujah. This is the day that my Lord and God has chosen. Hallelujah. He is the I am. He is now. Hallelujah. Praise You. The day of salvation is today. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, Lord, don't let me be in Your way. Oh, I hope that's on the heart and the thoughts of every brother and sister. Everyone is coming in. Oh, Lord, I don't want to be in Your way, Lord God. Oh, God, help me differentiate between my thoughts and Your thoughts. Oh, Lord God, thank You, Jesus. Let's sing that again. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. The Lord heard a repentant heart and cry right now. He heard this cry. It went like this. He said, oh, God, I find myself doing things, thinking things that I don't like, Lord God. I need help. I need help that I don't think like this. Hallelujah. I could tell You the one that thought that thought, but I won't. I don't like to think like this. I don't like these thoughts that come to my mind that make me do the things that I do. And I find that it's bondage and hurts me in my liberty to praise you and to worship you. He's heard that prayer. Can you say that with a genuine repent of heart? Not just as a recognition of your failure, but as a recognition of his love and kindness that he's going to lift this off of you. Hallelujah. That he's just going to lift it off of you. He's heard the petition. Can you believe that he said, I've granted it unto you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can you receive that? Hallelujah. And them shackles will fall off. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, let that helmet of salvation, hallelujah, that protects the thoughts and the mind, Almighty God. Oh, let that be placed upon their head. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, hallelujah. We worship and praise you, Lord God. Let there be a hedge of protection around this brotherhood, Almighty God. In Jesus' name.
Lord, you are more precious than silver.
Believe that he's heard your petition. Believe it. Hallelujah. Don't doubt. Not for a moment. Amen. You need to just praise him and thank him for taking. He'll help you with the way you think. It's one thing to think, but then to have actions with your thoughts that aren't his. First discern and differentiate your thoughts and his thoughts and the enemy's thoughts. And then when you walk in those thoughts, make sure it's in the counsel of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing this together as we worship and praise him.
Lord, you are.
We love you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord God. Oh, God, I don't want to step out of these altars this day, Lord God, with resentment in my heart, with hatred in my heart. I don't want to walk out of these altars, Lord God, with envy and jealousy and strife. Oh, God, I want to know that I left this there at the foot of the rugged cross, Almighty God. I want to know, Lord God, that I left that those things there, Lord God, that I could walk away clean and pure and filled up with the praise and the power and the admonition of the Lord God. Hallelujah. I want to be so full of his spirit, so full of his power that my cup overruns this day, Lord God. I want the joy unspeakable and full of glory to just come forth out of my innermost being. I want the rivers of living water. Hallelujah. I want them to wash and to cleanse. Hallelujah. I want them to pour out of me. Hallelujah. Oh God, I praise you. I worship you, Lord God. I praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you receive that this morning? Hallelujah. Can you be washed? Can you be washed white and pure and unspotted and unwrinkled? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's for you this morning, saints. Receive. Receive what God has for you. Thank you, Lord God. We worship and praise you. We exalt your name, Almighty God. We lift you up, hallelujah, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you've had a burden lifted off of you, you just want to praise him and thank him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Exalted far above.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I could lay hands on some this morning and help you along a little bit, but I'll tell you what, there is such a cleansing, refreshing, rejuvenating, regenerating presence of God. All you got to do is step into it, lift up them hands and say, Lord God, hallelujah. Oh God, I love you. Oh Lord, I praise your name. Hallelujah. I praise your holy name, Lord God. I worship you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when a man gets filled with the Holy Ghost, there's something inside that starts moving and changing. It just starts changing. I remember when I first gave my life to the Lord, I went to church and I had this friend. He'd become a pastor and a minister, and we're both young men kind of starting out together, you know. And man, we'd go to church and they'd have a altar service or something, man, he'd lift up his hands and their tears would just, you know. And I was trained all my life, man, men don't cry. You know, when we were boys, you know, we're a tough guy, you know, you, oh yeah, it's okay, man, they can just sew my hand back on, you know, but, you know. And it's something in the nature of a little man. But my story was this, that this brother would go in and he'd lift up his hands and be worshiping. And I looked at him with a, you know, it's like, wow, you know, what's wrong with me, God? Why am I got these things that, you know, it was real with that guy. But you see, I did not really know how to worship God. Do you have to cry, Brother Rob, and to worship him? No, you don't. But once you start worshiping, you ain't going to be able to help it. Amen. Because he's going to soften up that old hardness of your heart. And he's going to just melt away that old macho masculinity. And you're going to find yourself standing in the weakness before him. Let me tell you, I've listened to the visions and the dreams and the trances and things that great men of God have had. And every single one of them, when they found themselves in the presence of the Lord, they were at such awe that they couldn't speak. They couldn't communicate in the way that we do as men. All they could do is find themselves bowing down before him. Amen. As Brother Pike even said, when he found himself before the Lord, he said he looked and the trees were coming out and bowing down to him. The rocks, he said, coming out of the sockets all bowing. And he said everything. And he was so awestruck that he said he stood there, couldn't move. And he said something just picked him up and laid him over on his face. Amen. Hallelujah. God likes that, brethren. He is a God. And when we lay down before him and we bow down before him, in that time, that's when you'll find that he picks you back up and strengthens you, anoints you, infills you, empowers you, grants wisdom and understanding, amen. Not a gathered wisdom that you've done through training of yours of righteousness or failures. That's just a wisdom that is granted. You see, in the gifts, when we think of wisdom and knowledge, see, there's a gift. There's a knowledge that we can attain through an intellectual means. There's a wisdom we could attain over years of walking and observing. But there's a wisdom that could be given to you as a gift. And want to give to you as a knowledge, as a gift. And I'll tell you, they're as far as the east is from the west. But listening to them express, they're going to sound very similar. Brother Pike was a man of revelation, a man of mysteries, a man of secrets into the world. And many times we've all been guilty of hearing the expression from the mysteries and putting them into an intellectual concept of retention. And we made ourselves believe we really knew what he was saying. And it felt good when we heard it spoken, and it felt so good, but we never got granted the wisdom to walk in the revelation of it. And we never really got the knowledge of the Spirit of what was said, but we had an intellectual knowledge and it sufficed us because we're intellectual, because we're fleshly, because we're a man looking for preeminence and stature, looking for recognition. So it satisfied us because we felt like we can get this from that, from this part that satisfied our manly part. We thought it could bring recognition to other people. So we took it and received it as the word. We received it as the revelation, and we received it as God. But what it is, it's another dimension altogether. But the revelation of Jesus Christ in the realm of the Spirit, you're not going to be dealing with a haughtiness, an arrogancy, you know, a self-conceit or a self-empowerment. When you come into that thing, you just find yourself, you don't need to look for humility then, because you've already have found it. It is because you have seen something that's so magnificent beyond the words of expression that you don't have to look for humility. Because let me tell you, with all of your brilliance, you found yourself humbled anyway. Because all of your brilliance wouldn't even hold a light. Your light would look like a match lit on the noontime. And you know, nobody could see the light that it would project standing out in the brightness of the noonday. Amen. That's what you are. And standing before this mighty presence, your light isn't anything compared to his light. You know, and that humbles you and say, oh God, I need your help.
Yes.
You're like a glass of water standing at the Pacific Ocean. You know, but we remove all the glasses, we don't have an ocean. That's the need of a body, yes.
Amen.
You know, to really comprehend God. But your glass by itself isn't really nothing. Oh, to you it's everything. And he will love you and take you like that's the complete ocean. That's what he'll do, just as you cherish the parts of your body. You know, you say, oh, they say I can get by without this. You know, the old doc says, oh, you don't really need this. And, you know, so he removes that Porsche payment. He examines that Mercedes payment. You know, that's what they are, man. They look at you and they see a big dollar sign with, you know, change over here and change over here. There's guys, $1 million bill. Well, let's see. There's about, I could take out this part right there. That's $10,000. You know, and we smile. We may laugh a little bit. But that's what you are. The love of money, the root of all evil. Medical science and medical, they're advancing with some great things. Car manufacturers could make a rubber tire that you probably couldn't wear out. The car would wear out before the tire would. But because of the love and the greed, we're not going to do that. Hey man, I got you coming back every 30,000 miles, 40,000 miles. Why should I make one that goes twice as long? We'll just charge twice as much. Average consumer won't do it, but they make more and better. You say, I don't think you have any facts of that. Well, you know, I'm not even going to tell you what I do know. But I will tell you this. If you don't believe this, this is the word that the love of money is the root of all evil. There's a lot of things that could be a lot better than they are. But because of greed, because of finances and gains, God has his way in it. Has his way in all things. Y'all loving this
Amen.
Morning? We're going to close the service here in a few minutes. So I'll make sure that you got what you came for this morning before we close. I don't ever want to be in the Spirit of God's way. You know, I was reading the scriptures this morning, and it was like the Lord was moving kind of peculiar in my spirit. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, do you want me to call up one of the brethren to minister this morning? And I'm questioning him. Because I wasn't getting a connection for ministering. So I said, okay, that must mean you want me to call on one of these brethren this morning. So I'm contemplating doing that. But I couldn't get no clarity or clearance on that either. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to go up here. I told the brethren to put a book, the Bible, up here. I thought maybe we can read out of it this morning. Maybe he'll speak to us. Amen. Well, Brother Rob, it's a lack of preparation. Well, if what took place in here is a lack of Brother Rob's preparation, what took place this morning, I'm going to keep coming unprepared, amen. You know what? You say, well, I got nothing. That's your problem. You know, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. I can save services for me this morning. I got something from God this morning, amen. And you say, well, we came to hear something from God. I'll tell you what, I heard that my God is on the throne. And that he's alive and that he's well. And he's still in the midst of his people. And he's still healing the sick. He's still setting the captives free. Amen. He's still washing, still regenerating, still filling with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. That's something to be thankful for. And I come to the house of God today. Amen. And I saw that my God was still here and still moving in my affairs. Amen. And still delivering and still setting free. Hallelujah. And still changing mankind. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can you feel that Holy Ghost? Amen. Can you feel that wonderful Spirit this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship him, saints of God. We should have something in our hearts just for us to lift up our hands and magnify and praise his holy name and lift him up and exalt him, for he's worthy of all praise and all honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. I got a word that the Lord wants me to speak. I spoke one already that come through discernment. I heard a cry to God. And there was more than one that was very similar. That should have been pretty much a similar prayer in all of our hearts, but it was directed. And the Lord says this, that he's going to be watching. That he accepted. Remember, talked about the scepter that goes out to sin. He's let it out. He's accepted the repentant heart. But he's looking for the fruit of it.
Amen.
So in other words, if you could receive this morning that God heard your petition and your cry, even your sorrows of what has taken place in your spirit, and what how it's affected you in this work, in this church, in this brotherhood, but he's going to be looking for fruit thereof. Amen. So receive that. Receive that in Jesus' name. And you say, well, you could unveil it, Brother Rob. Sure I can. I try not to do that oftentimes. I can unveil it, the personalities, the people, the individuals. You know, I can unveil those things. And you say, well, a lot of times, Brother Rob, you call people up, pray for them, lay hands on them. Yes, I do that. I try to follow the leading of the Lord. But, brethren, we need to realize that if there's an enemy in this camp, and they're truly an enemy, and it affects you in your worship, in your praise, in your relationship with God, and causes you resentment, envy, and hate, the enemy has done exactly what he wanted to do. You understand that? And you got to be bigger than that. You know, some of you witnessed the enemy coming to my camp on more than one occasion. And what they do is they want to provoke you to act in the flesh, to anger, to resentment, to envy, to strife, to discord, to speaking evil. They want to do that to you. That's what he wants to do. And then he's won. But when you look at him and smile back and say, I love you. I'm sorry you feel that way about me. I know that I'm not worthy of anything, and please pray for me. But when you're proud and in love with yourself, and you're always looking at your life with such a way of acceptance, you know, and you feel like that acceptance is of God, but it's of your mind. When God's looking at you and he's accepted you already in his foreknowledge and things, but he's wanting you to bring that acceptance in your actions, in your repentance. Wants you to bring it to you in your labors, in your works. You know, when I say labors and works, I'm talking about the things we do every single day. We got to bring him real. You see, there's people, and I believe Brother Steve here is a new brother with us. Is he in here this morning? Right here. I could use him as an example. The man has a lot of knowledge up here of the Lord, but he's failed to allow this knowledge to bring him to an obedience, surrender, and just walk in the purity of Christ and God. He might say, well, I've done that before. Well, what hindered you? You know, and I'm not picking on or saying, but it's he's coming to some revelation and seeing that there's two worlds that's got to come together. He's starting to perceive some things, that these two worlds have got to come together. He's been trained, like a lot of us have been trained. We know how to deal with people, say the right things, do the right things, make the right presentation. That works in the world, but it don't work with God. You see, and when we start coming, that we find in that the manipulative powers of flesh with the proper answers and the proper ways and the proper speech doesn't work with God. That there's an exposure in God. And see, once this blood is lifted off that mercy seat, all of us men will be exposed to what we always have been. This is why we want to recreate this nature, or recreate, or let the God recreate and regenerate. And bring this nature up that they have a problem with differentiating. I stumble around all the time, and I get with brethren, and we get into conversations and laugh that really ain't pleasing unto God. You know, you see my weaknesses and my failures, brethren. Yeah, I need help. Amen. And, you know, we need to be sober-minded. We need to stay before him. And then yet I see people that feel like they're sober-minded in that, and they're so rigid and so hard-hearted and so calloused. And they feel like, you know, when they don't worship, they want to make it the musician's fault and the music minister's fault, or they just can't sing right, or they can't do right, or they can't, and they'll justify the hardness of their unrepentant heart, amen, when they need to get on their face before God and say, help me with my thoughts. Quit making me, letting this mind be in me that thinks that I'm better than these others, that I got more revelation and more understanding, more God. It just makes you more accountable. You know, that's all it does, brethren. We need to be in love with people. We need to cherish the moments that we can speak a word to somebody and encourage them and show gratitude and appreciation and love to our fellow man. Amen. Or otherwise our spiritual revelations are dead and null and void, and they're offensive. You see, when Jesus walked among mankind, he humbled himself down to the very least of humanity and gave his life to every single one of them. And if we are choosing, we pick this one and pick that one or this and that, you know, this is where the uncertain sound comes in. I made mention that the sisters are going to be breaking fellowship with the Kairos ministry. You know, and you could say, well, if you compromise this a little bit, Rob, we could be reaching some inmates. Let me tell you something. When I'm going into the prisons, I'm compromising to know that there's a chaplain that's a sodomite himself. But he isn't part. I'm not part of his team. He thinks I am, you know, because he's the one that has to give the okay to me to come in. But we concealeth the matter of many things, and we're wise, and we get through and get in the door to help minister to people. And through the testimonies of even the sisters, said, man, that woman, if there was one of the ladies that we work with in there that would appear to look like they really love God, it's her. They say when the prayer time's coming, she's the one weeping before the Lord and crying and doing things like that. And you see the uncertain sound there? And then we come in with an anointing of God with our sisters that are prayed up, filled with the Holy Ghost, got the convicting power of God, and this one's with them. They're going to just accept y'all as in one big team. And your anointing is going to draw them, and then the pervert's going to get them and pervert them to be exactly what she is. Oh, I'm a lesbian, but we love God. It's like the filthy one that came in the back of the church not long back. You know, and comes in here and said, God accepts me just as I am, preacher. And I said, who's been lying to you? God ain't going to accept no woman in her perversion of lesbian. He ain't going to accept them. I'll promise you that. That's not spent. Well, he could do whatever he wants. Sure he can. But he will not violate his word. Amen. He ain't going to violate his word. So we're going to be looking for other avenues to keep a ministry going into that prison if possible. You know, outside of the Kairos perspective. It's very difficult. I'm sorry. There's going to be more and more of this going on. But if some in here think that Brother Rob is going to compromise, I mean, you got a sovereignty, so they can keep on going on. It's not Christian Temple's ministry, and you can say, well, I feel like I'm doing some good. I'm going to keep going. I say, hey, God bless you. You know, and when your daughter turns into a sodomite or a pervert or whatever, then, you know, it's because you gave place to a familiar spirit. You could say that it's God that granted the repentance when you see him crying, but you'll hear him standing before the Lord when he said, I never knew you, you that work iniquity. Depart from me. You see, brethren, this is what's happened to Brother Rob. I've seen too many tongue-talking preachers laying hands on people and then receiving and getting freed and thinking that they were saved themselves. And then you think, this is a child of God right here. And then all of a sudden later down the trail, I would get shipwrecked in my faith because they would fall. I shared many stories with you, things that I've witnessed and seen. You see, you vindicate the calling, knowing by the way they preach, the way they shout, the way the congregation does to it. But I've seen congregations standing on their feet and screaming and yelling, shouting and dancing when the man that was preaching was a pedophile, sodomizing little boys, 9 and 12 year olds, sodomizing them, a daddy. And he'd come in and preach and the whole congregation would be awestruck. And let me tell you, he laid hands on the people, and I watched the whole church go into perversion because they received it as God. And because when he was imparting perverted spirits into the people, the pastor of the church, this was the evangelist in, went off in a relationship with his teacher. It was a fivefold ministry. We had the apostle, we had the prophet, we had the evangelist, had the pastor and the teacher. Well, the pastor went off into a relationship with the teacher's wife. And the teacher went off into relationship with the pastor's wife. And they both thought they had it hid from each other. But then the guy that they called their apostle, when he got them all together in the meeting, he said, we got some problems here. And I think that man was real. He lived about 1,000 miles away. But he came to visit. That's what apostles are supposed to do. You realize that? He came to visit the church, see if there's order in the church. I could hear him. Just like in the scriptures when I say to the church of Ephesus, I could hear him writing down to the church of Missouri over here. I got somewhat odd with you, brother. I find that you have made an open display of my grace and my mercy, and you've taken it to the lasciviousness of your will and your flesh. Huh? Come on now. Oh, but man, you should have seen the way they worshiped. Man, they get together, man, and sometimes just worship and praise God for 2 hours. Oh, man, the power of God came. The anointing of the Holy Ghost was there. I felt it raining down from heaven. And it comes on the just and the unjust. It falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. Amen. And they can't tell the difference. Amen. But let me tell you something. When all it is you filling the rain is one thing. But somewhere you better start filling that inward living water coming from the innermost part. You know, when it rained and flooded this earth for 40 days, it says in the scriptures that he opened up the waterways in the earth.
Yes.
And all that water in the storage tables. I'm wondering if how big those storage tables are down in there. Think about it, brethren. There might be more water stored under the earth than there is above the earth. But he opened it up and it just started coming out. I believe that there was more water that destroyed the wicked of this world from inside than come from outside. Do you realize that? That's the way I believe that. I never really thought about it. That's what I believe. You know why? Because it comes to your thoughts, Brother Rob? No, it wasn't my thoughts. It must have been his thoughts. Amen. Amen. And let me tell you something. I think that the inner rain is greater than the outer rain. How's Amen. That for something to vindicate it?
Amen.
I think that this inner rain, the latter rain, is much greater, brothers and sisters. And let me tell you something. When that washes you on the outside, it might just make you religious by feeling in the rain of God. Amen. But when it comes from the inside, it's all power. It's all authority. Amen. It regenerates. You know, the first man, Adam, understood that rain on the outside, but that second man, Adam, he understood that rain from the inside.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's what we want. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want that inward man to be regenerated and come forth in power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Fear is gone.
Let's worship him this morning before we close as a God that lives. Can you do that this morning, saints? It's because he lives, amen. Hallelujah. I could face every temptation. I could face every trial. I could face every hardship. Before you leave these altars today, I want you to leave the altars knowing that God has heard and accepted your repentance, but he's going to be looking for the fruit. Thank you, Lord.
I can face tomorrow.
If we're one that thinks that we're justified in resentment, boy, that's a dangerous place to be. You'd be better off to be a sodomite, a pervert, or a drunk, as to feel one that feels justified in their arrogance of resentment and envy and strife. As Brother Jesse Schutz, Pastor Jesse said, you partake of bitterness, you're eating poison, hoping the other one dies, and it's doing nothing but killing you. And the other one might be coming free and setting forth in freedom and liberty in the spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Because I know.
Let's sing that again, saints.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
Because
when you can get your platform in unity with the Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It brings freedom for the Lord to minister. Amen.
Because I know He holds the future. Life is worth the living just because He lives.
Let's sing that again. Amen. Hallelujah.
Because He lives.
Thank you, Lord.
Because He lives.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Because I know He holds the future.
Thank you, Lord.
Life is worth the living just because.
Let's sing it again. Amen. Hallelujah.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow.
Can you face it, saints of God? Can you face the trials, the temptations, the persecutions, the tribulations tomorrow? Because He lives, I say unto you, in the name of my Lord, hallelujah, that you can do all things through Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. You can bring every thought and every vain imagination under subjection in the Lord and Savior Jesus.
And life is worth the living just because He lives.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the inmates that we are ministering to, these fellow brethren that made failures in life and were incarcerated, their incarcerations are righteous. They're walking, as the biggest, most part of them in general, are walking, and it's the mercy of God that they're incarcerated by the grace of God. Because they would have stayed out on the outside and continued on in their willful sin and walked right into the eternal damnation. But by the mercy of a living God, slowed them down and found that they could be incarcerated. In American prisons, it's pretty bad, but they're treated pretty good compared to some of the other countries and things. But it's the mercy of God. But these men, sometimes they deal with hardships and things because of the gross perversions that are going on in there. And they say, Brother Rob, it's hard to go to church because they got the sodomites leading the song services. And the chaplain told us when we were there going through the orientation for we could be certified by the state or legal in the state's eyes, whatever, that we can go into the prisons. And he said, you know what? He said, the most faithful ones that we have in here are the sodomites, the perverts, the child molesters. He said they carry such a heavy guilt on them that they want to come to services and try to get this guilt off of them. Now, if that statement was said, that God was reaching all the way down to the uttermost, all the way down in the mire, and that these people really had a reason to come before God in repentance, this is really what he was saying. I think that's wonderful. But not when they continue in it. The thing is from the reports that the percentages of sodomy in the man's prison, the percentages, according to the reports I'm getting from these men, it's unbelievable. Why would it be unbelievable, we could say, when we see the society has just opened it up and put their blessings on it, they're licensing them, ordaining them, and many things. I got a report, if this is true, I don't know. Come from one of the brethren here just the other night. But they said that in Russia, that they've made legislation and passed a law that if you're a sodomite, that you cannot get a driver's license. You know why they say that? Why you can't get one? They say because you must not have enough mental capacity to be able to operate a vehicle. Amen. If you're that stinking ignorant. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. You know, they'll try to tell, I'll say we, okay? They'll try to tell employers, entrepreneurs maybe, or businessmen, that we can't discriminate against them and got to hire them. But I think that I should be able to discriminate like this, say, well, if you're ignorant enough for a man to marry a man, you too ignorant to help me in my business.
Amen.
You understand that?
Yeah.
You're just too stinking stupid.
Dumber than an
animal. Yeah. Yeah. I'll get a stinking donkey standing on my assembly line instead of a queer. You know, at least he knows what he is.
That's right.
Queer's too stupid to know what he is. And I'll pay that donkey, man. We'll feed him good and fatten that old donkey up, man. You know, I'm not gonna bow down to this stuff. You know, it's sad to think that it's hindering the ministry. We're going to be losing a great opportunity in one perspective. But if we could pray and believe together that we can get a door opened up in this prison, that the sister can go and start teaching some Bible studies in there and keep a thread of connection. Stephanie's already, I believe, in the motions doing with the chaplain. We could just send letters in like some of the other ones are getting. And, you know, if the children could start sending letters and people start writing letters and sending letters into some of these people, encouraging them, speaking, communicating with them, and get a door opportunity opened up that way. And you say, what are we doing? Turning into a prison ministry here? Hey, we're going to minister anybody who has an ear to hear, brother.
Amen.
I don't care. You could see a man that is filled in the iniquities. One of the men that I'm dealing with, I really believe that the brother is really sincere and really, really, truly believe that the man's born of God. And he just seems to be a real genuine brother. But you know, his daddy moved a man in their home when he was a little child. You know, it turned into, I don't like to say them, but you know, yes, as ungodly as anything that you could even imagine, that something like this would be happening in a home. But I'll tell you what is so great about that is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, could reach all Amen. The way down to a guy in the deepest cesspools of iniquity. You know, and if we don't think that God could deliver a person like that and wash him and make him as pure and clean as the driven snow, brethren, then we got no chance for him to do
Amen.
Anything for us, because our self-righteous spirit is much more perverted and dirty
Amen.
Than what that man's devil was. That's the truth, brethren.
Amen.
And we got to be careful. We got to recognize, I know that there's people here that have really made genuine confessions and repentances, but those iniquities still lay back in there and they're trying to take lead in their lives on a daily basis. That's why we take up the cross daily. That's why we keep bearing that thing. It will be my obligation as a preacher when some of these men or women show up in this church, okay, that I've got to watch it and keep an order and keep things decent for the protection of you and your children. Amen. But where do we shut the doors at? Where do we limit God at, brethren? How deep can God reach? How deep can he go to cleanse? There's people that have committed hideous sins. Could you stand and worship the Lord with a woman that slit the throat of her own baby? It'd be tough, you know, but it's a very common thing. Or drowned their baby, suffocated their baby, beat their baby. Has any of you dads ever given place to a devil yourself? You know, and think about uncontrollable temper and angers that come out of you. How many times have we said something to our wife out of angers, you know, that we should have never have ever been said? Those words are so powerful. They're still vibrating in the heavens. You know, and you know, so we've all given place to devils. And if we think that we could sit and look at this other devil and make it a worse devil than what we got, then we got a worser devil than that one was. Because it's all sin before the Lord.
Amen.
You know, and we want to get all of the iniquities, all the unclean things out of our lives. Amen. So thank you for coming to the house of God. I want to say thank you to the brethren yesterday for coming out and their labors. If you just drive down the road down there, you could see the labors. We had many men show up and work and labor. And I think we had a very positive day, a very fulfilling day. Amen. And a lot of accomplishment there. This is what people drive by and see. They don't drive by and hear what's going on from the sacred desk. They don't drive by and, you know anything about us, but when they could see the fruit around the property, say, hey, people are caring. These men are really beautifying. So we'll keep on glorifying the properties the best we can as we're being glorified by the Lord and lifted up and praised in the heavens by the angels of God. Amen. And the thing is they don't realize that there's an angelic host right in here worshiping and praising God. But maybe when they could see the labors, they might think, you know what, maybe we can be partakers of something like that. Amen. And then we reach out and we love and we help. Say, well, Brother Rob, we bring them. I've heard this many times. We bring them and you run them off. I've never run one person off, brethren. The thing is that there's a Spirit of God in me that's going to preach the gospel. I question sometimes the things that comes forth. Myself, I say, wow, it sounds strong. But let me tell you, this day and time that we're in, things are coming to the forefront. And the churches have compromised the word so much through what they call political correctness. And they've backed off and they're trained, well, we don't want to offend nobody, you know, and we all got to get along. That's the same devil that puts a bumper sticker on your collar, says coexist. Yeah. I'm not going to coexist with the Baptists and the Methodists and the Church of God and the Assemblies of God. I'm not going to coexist with them because they've sold out to the devil. They sold out their whole organization to the rituals of flesh and to hirelings. They got these men on a payroll, and they're going to fit into what headquarters say for they can get their payroll. You understand that? I ain't ever going to fit that. You say, well, that's a little offensive. Good. I'm glad you're offended. Maybe you can get out of the cesspool then. Amen. And if we can't find the religious realm that'll hear the word of God and the cry out of God, then we will go into the prisons. The ones that have been busted down and broken down because of their ignorance, that could say, I need a God. And we could reach in and love them. There's other ministries that are traveling and getting to inmates and prisoners, but they've been entangled and feeding from the snare of the religious, and they're taking that same thing and that same mind in there. And then they got the same old filthy, perverted television evangelists on the TBN and such. And they tune into them in the prisons and they listen to that. But there's a remnant even in there that's saying, no, we don't bow down to the unclean thing. We're going to walk in the authority and the power and the anointing of God. The chaplain in one of the prisons when this Bible study got powerful and the men were coming to him, they were coming for prayer and there was being results seen. The chaplain got jealous about it. Amen. And started hitting it. I heard a deacon say this, that it's no longer alive right now. But he said it's right here in my home. And he made this kind of statement. He goes, my pastor thinks that he's going to do this, but I'll tell you what, I don't know who he thinks he is. It ain't going to happen. Boy, and I mean, the fear of God struck my heart. My God, why would you be standing there saying, this pastor thinks this, and he's going to do it, but it ain't going to happen. But see, that spirit rises up in here sometimes. He was a deacon, so he had control of, you know, he was the one that probably voted the man he was. He was one of the ones that voted him in, and he just as easily can vote him out. But I thought, fear struck my heart for his soul to even think that way. He went through much suffering before he passed away. You know, I'm not putting a man in hell by no means. He went through some real suffering. I've seen a real repentant heart in him. But brethren, when you've got that kind of spirit, brother or sister alike, they got that kind of a spirit and think, well, we'll just show them. Some people resist because they got a spirit of resistance and they don't see it. They're so blind to it. But everybody wants to do one thing, they're going to do something different because they got a resistant spirit. But let me tell you, there's unity hand in hand walking in the road of righteousness. And the brethren labor together, work together, hold hands together, and walk together in unison. And when you got another spirit and you're always going to kick against it, always going to go the other way, to show your independence, to show your lack of submission. You don't realize it, but it's a devil. It is a demon spirit. It's as perverted as the one that had the little boy. I'm telling you, it's just as bad. There'll be more people in hell because of witchcraft than any other sin. I got witches that come into my services on a daily basis. You say, come on, Brother Rob. They don't think so. They think that they're God's cleansed, washed, and regenerated, and really feel like they are, but they're witches because they got such a strong, rebellious devil, and they don't even know it. They've had it so long. They don't know that they're resistant against anything and everything. And you know what? You would encounter them as one of your sisters, and you would love them, and you do, as well as I do. Do you realize that? But their husbands need to wake up and think, wait a second. There is resistance. There is this rejection. There is this contrariness that lays there. Mama was that way. Grandma was that way. You know, great-grandma was that way. And we got to recognize those things. Am I excluded from this conversation as a pastor here? Absolutely not. You know, I see my father's failures. And I've seen him in my life when I look in the mirror. And I've seen him in my son's life when I look at him. And I'll see it in my grandson's life as I look at him. The same iniquity. A lot of times, and as we as men are proud about those things, oh, they're just like, that reminds me of my daddy. When something reminds me of my daddy, I'm sickened. When something reminds me of me, I'm sickened. Well, you know, but Brother Rob, you're born again and regenerated. You know, you're this and that. Well, then give the glory to God. It's not being me, it's being like my Heavenly Father. If there's any good thing in me, it's the attributes go to God, not to Brother Rob or Brother Rob's dad. You understand that? The glory, all good things we give honor to God for and praise Him. All right, let's sing this song for we can close. Amen. I love you and thank you for coming to the house of God this morning. You say, I'm ready to go. I've been standing on my feet. I do every service. I do every service. I stand on my feet and I pour my heart out to you. Thank you. You are wonderful people. Again, thank you for your labors. I like to see the fruits of your labors. I like to see it when it's on a written page and it's being mailed out. Y'all love Him?
Amen.
Feel like you come to church today?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I think believe the Lord had His way this morning.
And just a closer walk with Him.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. As we close the service, let this song be a request that I want a closer walk with my Lord. It'll show up in your life when you got that closer walk.
Jesus is my plea.
You know the way the pastor can tell if you're walking with that closer walk? Pretty simple. Because if he's walking with the Lord, you're going to be right there with him. It's not hard to tell when somebody's close, is it?
Well, I am weak, but thou art strong.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, keep me from all wrong.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to Thee.
I want you all to bow your head as we dismiss this morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for being real and part of this. Thank you for removing your wishes and desires and trying to yield and allow for God to have His way. Amen. That's an awesome thing. And sometimes you think that your way is so much greater than His way, but your way will never, you know, you might build a tall tower called Babel, you know, or something, but it'll come down. Amen. So the best thing to do is get in on the rock and the foundation and let Him build it and let Him be the master craftsman. Let Him be the architect. Let Him build. Let Him choose the stones. I want to be one of those lively stones, amen, that are chosen to be utilized for the temple of the living God, amen, that He could build us and strengthen us and utilize us. Brethren, this is real. This thing is real. Life and death is going forth from this sacred desk. Every single service, justification is going forth all the time. To find yourself being numbered with the just or with the unjust. We find these things taking place. Amen. What chapter of James did I have there? He does want me to read something there. Y'all got just a second? James chapter 5 verse 1 says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered. And the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the labors who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived in pleasure on earth and been wanton. You know this word wanton, I thought in my mind it had something to do with like lacking. I don't know what, like you were, I wasn't correct in that. Live in pleasure. and luxury. See, I'm glad I looked up what that word meant. It says, you have lived in pleasure on the earth, living in the things you've attained and the things that you've got. Desiring again. Let me say that again with that. Live in pleasure. Have been living in your own fleshly pleasures and desires. Doing what you want. When I see people, they just get so infatuated about buying a car, so infatuated about buying a house, so always looking and always wanting more. Nothing's never good enough. Nothing's there. And they want more and more. There they are right there. They're found wanting. And, you know, that's a sin. It's wrong. Well, you know, Brother Rob, I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, desiring nice things. I don't either. But, you know, when you're doing nice things as unto the Lord, He's given nice things back unto you, and those things testify God. But when you're after those and seeking them, then they testify against you. And it does just like it says here. They become rust. The things that you put away for the last days and you think, oh, I could use them, now they're rusted. Brother Elliot's a mechanic. Brother Randy's a mechanic. You know, an engine is a beautiful thing, the way it works. And when you understand, you know, all the strokes and the compressions and the power of it and the electrical system, how it's got to be so perfectly timed to make everything work. It's a beautiful thing. But you know, when that engine gets rusted up, that old crank's all rusted up, the rods are rusted up, everything's rusted, the valves are pitted and rusted up, you know, that thing isn't worth a count. Oh, I set this thing aside for, man, one day I'd use it, and it's all rusted up. You go to put a breaker bar on it, trying to get it to break over, and it's stiff and won't move. That's what happens with the things that we lay away unless we're following the Lord. You have lived in pleasures on earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts. I want to nourish God's. As in a day of slaughter, you have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. That's America today. There's been no resistance and cry out from the Christian community as we've been taken out of the schools and education and everywhere and everything. Maybe just no resistance. Everything else is resisting us. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. I know I teach judgment, but what you better get some revelation on what it is. Take, my brethren, the prophet, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. That was spoken again. I'll tell you, the word of knowledge is so rich this morning. Spoken again to an individual, said, right here, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord as an example. Has anybody seen Brother Rom be crucified in this work, even by people in this work, and been unrighteously done and spoken, lied against? Been spit upon, robbed. I mean literally robbed of things, stole things from me, robbed me, taken monies, taken substance, and so wronged me. And then yet I love and I entreat and I try to keep my spirit under subjection without showing hate, favoritism to them or against them. So take the word right there and apply it when you feel justified to allow an evil spirit of discord and strife and bitterness to consume your innermost man and defile you. Oh, God, help us have mercy. Holy Ghost is so awesome. Take my brethren, again, verse 10, the prophets who have spoken the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Well, I tell you, endurance molds you, shapes you, makes you, strengthens you. The fire purges you. The fire makes you where you could stand it. So strong. You have heard of the patience of Job. You have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Thank you, Jesus. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. I'm too proud for that. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one converteth him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Come on now. That he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death, and shall hide the multitude in their sins. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this service this morning, the orchestration thereof, Father God, knowing from above. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for a family of God and a brotherhood. Father, I thank you that your mercies are real, Lord God, that you reach down, that you restore, that you reconcile. Father, meet any repentance that you found this day in these altars, Lord God, meet it, Lord God, Father, and add back an increase in their lives. Add back to the substance that the cankers tried to rob away. Add back, Lord God, enrich and bless them in a mighty way. Father, the unrepentant hearts that stood before you this day with no change and no arrogancy, I ask you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Lord God, to bring the fiery wrath and indignation of God on their head, Lord God. Remove them from this body, Lord God. Destroy them and tear them apart, Almighty God, that they could be cast forth, Lord God, as a tear into the fire. Father, have your way and be merciful in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Pray for me.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.